On this edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad, we catch up with second-year Magic player Chuma Okeke. Oh, it's a terrific conversation. And Magic fans, the Florida Department of Transportation reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. Lots to cover in this conversation with Chuma Okeke, including what makes him the funniest player on the team. Several of his teammates, including himself, have named Chuma Okeke as the funniest person on the team. So you get a little insight on that. Also, his upbringing. What made him such a humble human being? What made him such a selfless player out there on the basketball floor? So a little insight into his upbringing and all that he was able to overcome to make it to the NBA. His NCAA tournament run while at Auburn, and also Charles Barkley, what it means to have a guy like that as an ambassador for your school. And the future of this Magic team, very bright. Chuma Okeke breaks it all down on this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
This is Jalen Suggs of the Orlando Magic.
This is Jonathan Isaac.
This is Mo Bamba.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic, and this is the Pod Squad.
All right, welcome everyone to another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Great to have you with us. Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, David Steele, and Magic man Chuma Okeke, kind enough to join us. Chuma, how are you, man? Good to see you.
What's up? Good to see you too, man. I'm just chilling. Just chilling at the gym right now. Everything going good, though.
At the time of this recording, Chuma, we got 10 games left. So how is the body holding up? How is the mind holding up? How are you feeling as we go into the final stretch of the season here?
Everything's feeling good. You know, of course, a little banged up. But other than that, body feeling good. Mentally, I'm still feeling good. Still in the season, you feel me? I'm not rushing for the season to be over with or nothing. But I'm still locked in.
All right, we want to all know how you're holding up at the time of this recording. It's the day after Auburn gets knocked out by Miami, and we're all feeling for you, man. We're all feeling for you. This was a heck of a year. We thought you had a chance to win it all.
Yes, you're holding up. I was hurt when I seen the Auburn had lost. I didn't even get to watch the game, though, because I was still at the gym, I think, last night. Then I got home a little later, so. But, yeah, I was thinking they was going to go a little bit farther, but it's all good. You feel me? They still made history at the school, being the number one team in the country. They still did good, so it's all good.
Have you talked to anybody since last night?
I watched a little bit of it. Your guards needed to find your big guy a little bit better there in the second half. They kind of forgot about how good that one fella is, Chuma.
Oh, yeah, that's what they was doing?
Yeah, I felt like that anyway. George, did you see it?
I didn't know. I missed all the game last night because by the time I'm same as Chuma, by the time I got home from our game, you know, it was pretty much in the bag at that point.
Well, yeah, David, they didn't find him. They didn't find him, but he also didn't go get it. Like, I feel like that guy who, you know, we could potentially be a great NBA player has got to go get the ball at the end of the game.
But, you know, I think it's difficult for the big guys the guy like Jabari Smith, he's got to rely on his guards to help get him involved. The guards have the ball in their hands. They set the tone. I don't know, Chumo, how do you feel about that? When you see a big guy that can't get involved, don't his guards have to, you know, and the run to plays and the guards have to get him involved, have to be a part of that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like he trusts his teammates. That just shows he trusts his teammates. He trusts what they're going to do. And you're right. It is like kind of their job to like kind of get him involved and get him the ball in those type of in those big moments in the big games like that. But
they fell behind. And I think the guards, you know, thought they tried to get it all back at once, made, five or six possessions in a row there where maybe took some questionable shots. But I tell you what, they played a tough team. There's a lot of good basketball teams. You look at college basketball right now, and there's tremendous parity. I don't know who to favor in this thing right now. Have you been able to watch much of it, Chuma?
I haven't watched much of it, but I was just – like last night, I was just on my scene, Arizona. And from a couple people told me that Arizona going to go all the way. I was like, nah, they're not going all the way. That was probably just me being biased to Auburn, but – now that I watched some previews of Arizona last night, shoot, they might go all the way for real.
Chum, for those of us that have never played in the NCAA tournament, you obviously played a major role the year you guys went and made that historic run. What is that like? What does it feel like to be in those gyms and just have the crowd go crazy?
Well, man, it feel like a movie for real. Like, it feel like a movie. And then especially with me, I've been growing up watching March Madness all my life, and now finally playing in and actually got a chance to win the whole thing. Like, it felt amazing to then to do it with the team, and then you got your home crowd traveling with you. You feel me? It's just so much excitement, so much adrenaline going on. It's just a good feel, just a good environment.
How much do you still hear from Auburn people? I'm sure every day, right? Is it every day Auburn people are reaching out to you on your social media and everything?
Yeah, I do. Like every time I get on my social media and I go on my inboxes or something, it's always somebody at Auburn saying War Eagle, and so it's always somebody at Auburn. And then you know Auburn got a lot of supporters. You feel me? If you go in every state, you most likely gonna run into somebody that went to Auburn, graduated from Auburn, or just like an Auburn fan. And so yeah,
I've got a neighbor that went to Auburn and brought me like 11 things and said, "Can you just have Chuma sign this?" And I said, No, I'm not.
I would have signed it. I would have signed it.
Auburn people. Hey, Chuma, if you don't get hurt in the Sweet 16, your team still went to the Final Four, right? That year, Auburn had an incredible run. You win the whole thing if you're able to stay on the floor. Are you guys national champions?
Shoot, I don't know. A lot of people always be saying, "Oh, if you ain't get hurt, then y'all would have won the whole thing." But shoot, honestly, I don't know. You feel me? And I guess we'll never know since I got hurt. But shoot, that's what I hope. I feel like we was playing good. We was on the run. You feel me? We was knocking off all the like blue collar teams and stuff like that too. So I feel like we did. Me not getting injured, we probably would have had a better chance to win the championship. But you feel me? I guess everything happened for a reason.
Well, they lost by 1 point to Virginia. Right. And that was a 1 point game. And that's the beauty of this tournament too. I mean, there's no margin for error. You lose and you're done. Your season's over. I guess that's part of what makes it so exciting to be a part of, right, Chuma?
Yeah, you win and go home. And everybody know that. Everybody playing their hardest, because it's a lot of times like, yeah, it's freshmen that come in, but a lot of times this March Madness, it might be people's last time ever touching the basketball again. Like some of them won't play professionally overseas in the NBA or whatever, so they're trying to leave it all on the court, and that's what makes the environment even better.
That's what happened with George when he got eliminated at Stetson.
That happened to me in the 12th grade is when it happened to me.
Intramural quarterfinal.
On the outside, Bruce Pearl seems wild. Seems absolutely wild, but he seems like a great guy to play for. He seems like a lot of fun, and he seems like a great motivator. What are some of the funny things, maybe a story or two that you can give us about Bruce Pearl?
I don't know. I can't think of no stories right now, but shoot, like I could just say, like you said, he is a crazy dude, a crazy coach. Like, he's not one of them coaches to where like, If a player and you having a disagreement, he going, "All right, everybody get on the line," or "All right, get out of practice." Da da da. From he gonna go back and forth with you. You feel me? And then he gonna see what the problem is, and then y'all both just gonna come down to a conclusion. But he's a coach that just bring a lot of energy to the game, a lot of energy to us. And then them pregame talks. If you ever in the room when a pregame talk, he might make you want to run through a wall yourself. You know, that's just who he is.
What it seems like. I've seen some of those speeches. He does. He gets fiery, guys. You guys have seen that.
Yeah. I like them speeches, though.
that gets you fired up, Chuma?
Like, all right, let's go. Let's get it.
Hey, how does it feel to have an ambassador like Charles Barkley for your school?
Yeah.
Having somebody like that, right? I mean, he he took it head on. He said, "Hey, I'm not going to talk about, let's give Miami their credit, you know, for that win last night." But having him like that, I'm sure he's a legend on that campus. I mean, I'm sure. What's it like having him tied to your school?
Yeah, he definitely is a legend on the campus. He got his own statue and everything. But shoot, it's funny because Charles Barkley, he a funny dude. So like how he be talking on the TV and stuff, you feel me? That just show he got a lot of confidence in us, and just he loved the school, and that just show that Auburn is a, you feel me, a cool place like that. But yeah, he began this fired up too. Like Charles said this, Charles said that. We just be trying to back up his words when I was there. We just trying to back him up. That's all we all be trying to do. Not make That's him great. Look too bad.
That's great.
You know what's interesting? Charles Barkley, he's known for his sense of humor, and you're known for your sense of humor. You know, that it must be, what is it, an Auburn That's thing right. or?
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess.
Where did that sense of humor you have come from?
But hold on, though. But hold on, David, though, because I feel like he holds this all inside. And everybody we ask and everybody we talk to, and we always ask them, like, well, who's the funniest guy? And to a man, they all say, it's a sweep that you're the funniest right. guy. David tells me before we started, he read somewhere that you were voted the funniest guy at Auburn. For a year and a half, you didn't say two words to me other than hello and goodbye. Like, where are we holding? Where are we holding this comedic value? Where is all this stuff? Where is it? Where is it hiding, Chum?
I don't be hiding it. It's just that I got to get to know somebody first. I'm a shy too, you feel me? So I just be having to get to know, get comfortable around you, and then when I get comfortable around you, then I guess that's when it just come out.
Well, don't feel bad. I've known George for 24 years, and I'm less comfortable now than when we started.
See, you know, just... what I keep thinking, though, is everybody that we talk to says Chuma's the funniest guy in the locker room. So I want to know from Chuma Okeke, in your opinion, who's the funniest guy? Now, take yourself out of it because you can't vote for yourself, right? So who would you vote for as the funniest guy in the locker room, Chuma?
For real, I think T-Ross the funniest dude on the team, for real. He funny. I don't know why. It's just the stuff he be doing. But yeah, I think T-Ross funny. He the funniest person on the team.
There you go. There we have it.
Well, he said you too. We've heard him say that as well. How about this? How about this season, Chuma? 10 games left. But how are you feeling? How do you feel it's headed? What do you guys want to accomplish here? These last 10 games as we start to close out this season.
Well, for the most part, I feel like we just want to. We don't want to – I don't want to say ruin everything that we accomplished, even though our record don't show that we accomplished much. But, you feel me, like the – we don't want to slow down or, you feel me, or just start just going out there and just playing any type of way, only just because we only got 10 seasons left and just trying to hurry up and get to the summer and vacation and all that other stuff. We just trying to keep on building, and then hopefully that carries over the next season. So now we've been through all the – ups and downs from last season. So now next season we'll come in and know what to expect and know what we want and then just pick up from where we left off.
Chuma, how about you individually though? Because your game has definitely taken a different turn here, I would say, over the last like 20, 30 games. You feel more comfortable out there? Have things slowed down for you? Because you've definitely taken a turn.
Yeah, I definitely feel more comfortable out there. I just tried to have that mindset of, you know, just going out there, having fun on first and foremost, and then just trying to make my teammates better and just trying to just play any type of way as long as just to try to get the win, basically. And, you know, just take whatever the defense give me and then just control what I can control out there on the court. Sometimes shots going to go in, sometimes they're not, but I can also always control how the energy I put and how I play and my defense on the defensive end, you feel me? Just control what you control. And that's the mindset I've been trying to go out there and play with.
I think you brought up a great point about how you and the team seem to still be focused on trying to get better and trying to play with purpose, not just play out the season. You know, we've all been around quite a long time, and we've seen teams down at the end with losing records. And you can tell they've let go of the rope, and they're just kind of playing out the string. What is it about your locker room, your coaching staff, your teammates that has, you know, set this culture, this determination to finish out strong? Well, what's going on behind the scenes?
I feel like it's probably just first is all of us being young. So you feel me? The fun we have off the court, I guess it also shows on the court and, you know, how we come together. And then, like, a lot of these, like, coaches, it's first time being a head coach, you know, and us being overlooked just because, like, we're a young team and just because, you know, maybe first time head coach or in our record is, like, we at the bottom of the standing. So, you feel me? Just all of that probably takes a part. And You know, we know how good we are. We know how good we can be, and we know that we're going to continue to get better. And for us to take these last 10 games as just a season already over with, you feel me, last in the standings, to take that route, that would be doing us a dishonor, being that, you feel me, even though our record don't show, but we know what we're capable of.
We agree with that, and that's great to hear. Is it hard at times? Because, you know, at the time of this, when I think it's 19-53, we know it's not easy, you know, to go through this. But like David said, you know, you guys fight every single night. Is it? But I'm sure it gets frustrating at times. How do you plow through? What helps you motivate you to continue to be a professional and improve every game?
I say probably just us. Probably just seeing other teams. You feel me? So a lot of teams that's going to be in the playoffs this year, and that's actually at the top of the standings. That was in our same position probably like a year or two ago. So just seeing how those teams evolved and seeing that they went through what we're going through now, and then like seeing that we're still a good team. You feel me? That just give us be like. Everybody go through this. So it's not about how you starting off, or it's just about the learning experiences. Don't take the losses as, oh man, we suck. We can't do this. We can't do that. Just take the losses as lessons. And that's how you just continue to grow and grow. And then you feel me? Next year or a couple years, we're going to be at the top of the standings just like the other teams are.
That's great.
Chuma, where do you feel like you still need to get better? Is there a particular area you're still working on, or is it just your all-around game? Is there one thing that you're working on?
I like to work on my all-around game. I really don't be liking to focus on one thing, but that's just how I always was. And that's probably why I'm so versatile and could do so many things on the court, because like even when I was little, I just didn't work on one little thing. Working on multiple things that produce multiple outcomes. So I just want to work on a lot of things. But if I give you one thing, I'll probably say, actually, I want to get a lot stronger this year, this summer too. But probably like my shot, I want to continue to work on my shot, make it more consistent. So, yeah.
That's a big part of this game, the ability to step in and knock down consistent three-point shots. I mean, how valuable do you feel that is? And you can certainly make yourself a threat that way. You've had big nights. You've had big nights shooting the three this year.
Yeah. So, if I just get more consistent with that, then I feel like that opened up my game a lot more. And now that spaced the floor for my other teammates, and I just opened up a lot. So, just consistency shooting the ball.
Tell us what's in the water in Atlanta, Georgia. Chuma, with you, we got Wendell Carter Jr. goes for a career high 30 the other night. He's burst onto the scene this year. There are some great basketball players that come out of the Atlanta area. Can you kind of give us some insight into maybe why that might be, or how competitive some of those games were for you growing up?
Shoot, that's just how Atlanta is, probably. Atlanta, Georgia, we got a lot of athletes, not only in basketball, but football, baseball, everything. But basketball, yeah. We got a couple people that's in the league now who me and Wendell and a couple other people that's in the league now that we've been playing against each other since we was kids, and some with each other since we was kids. So I mean, that's just Atlanta is a talented scene for basketball.
Colin Sexton, Davion Mitchell. Who am I missing? Who am I missing out of that group? You played against and played with.
I don't know. I'm going to have to do some more thinking.
Harper played in Atlanta.
Yeah, Jared from Atlanta. Name Bryce.
Is it AAU, the high schools? Is it the middle school? Like, are the teams just really good? There's just a lot of kids to pull from. I wonder what makes that area special in that way.
I don't know, man. They're just talented. I guess they just don't stop working. Atlanta people be getting overlooked sometimes, so I guess that just make them want to work harder. I don't know what's in the water in Atlanta. We just produce them. That's all, I guess.
So now, your high school team beat Pebblebrook, wasn't it? Wasn't that Colin Sexton's team in the state championship game? How did that go? What was that championship game like for you and Sexton? How did he play? How did you play?
He played good. They was in our region. So that was like our fourth time or fifth time playing them. But he played good. I was sick that game though. I don't know what was going on. I think I had like some type of food poisoning or what the freak. I don't know what was going on.
But, David, I can tell you Sexton didn't play good enough. Apparently he didn't play good enough that night, right?
That game was crazy. They be trying to say that we won the game because we stalled the ball. You know, in high school, they don't got no shot clock.
That's right.
That ain't true, though, because, they was up by, 10, and then we just came back and beat them in the championship, and we won. So, shoot.
Did you grow up a Hawks fan? Did you grow up going to games? Did you have a favorite player and all that?
Yeah. I say, my favorite player on the Hawks back then was probably – it was probably between Josh Smith and Joe Johnson, for real. Yeah, I was a big Hawks. I wasn't a big Hawks fan, but I went to a couple of their games.
Was that like the first time then when you played at State Farm Arena as a pro? What was that like for you? Was it weird looking across the court and seeing Hawks across the floor from you? Like, what does that feel like for you?
I don't know if it was weird or what. I don't even know what I was thinking about. I just know I was too nervous. So I was.
Were you nervous?
Yeah, I was nervous. And that was my first game too after my injury. So I was nervous with that. And then nervous
that's
with
right.
how I was
playing. Oh,
and
then that's right.
with the hometown, first game in the hometown. It was just a lot of nerves. But it was excitement too. We came in and got the win. I made a couple shots, so that felt good. Overall, it was a good feeling.
What can you tell us about your upbringing, Chuma? What your family, siblings, things like that? What kind of things did you like to do as a family growing up?
We really didn't do much, but we really couldn't do much. We didn't have no money to do nothing really to go nowhere.
I hear you.
But basically, my mom was just working, and then when she wasn't working, she was in the house trying to get dinner prepared or just chilling, you feel me? She was tired a lot of times. But other than that, I was outside a lot, you feel me? I didn't like to try to bother my mom a lot because I knew that we were struggling and stuff. So I didn't, at a certain age, when I was a kid, I didn't ask her for nothing at all. I just was doing all my own stuff. So
is that extra rewarding with what you've gone through to now be able to pay it back, pay it forward, and now to be able to provide like you are now? I mean, how much satisfaction do you get out of that now?
Oh, yeah, it felt real good. Feel me? To just give back to my mom, give back to my brother and sister whenever they need it, whenever they need something. It just feels good to know that that they always going to be straight. Well, hopefully they'll always be straight with me. Because I'm always gonna look out for them first. I always put me last and put them first. So, but I still tell them you feel me. You still got to get on your own grind too. But
yeah,
if push comes to shove, you don't got to worry about it. I got you.
Hey, don't say that to your mom. That'll put you in the doghouse.
No, I ain't saying that to my mom. I want my mom to just chill one day. Just chill.
Yes.
Yeah, you talk about putting others first. That's kind of the way you approach the game of basketball. I mean, you're a very unselfish player. That's kind of your personality, isn't it? Where do you think that comes from?
True. That probably just come from back when I was a kid, being that family, my brother and sister growing up. I wasn't the only child. So you got to learn how to share, especially when you don't have much. You got to learn how to give, even if you don't want to give. You got to learn how to put your family first or other people before you. And just knowing that you're going to always be good. So I just got this mentality that I know, or I feel like I'm going to always be good. You feel me? I feel like any obstacle that come my way or anything that comes my way, I'm going to always overcome it. So here, you could get this because I know for a fact that I'm always overcome anything. But here, you got it, though. So probably that coming up, and then that just transferred on the court and apply it to my everyday life. So, yeah, probably that.
That might have been the deepest thing somebody's ever said on this podcast.
That's right.
Dante.
You're right.
That's easily the deepest thing.
He's not only funny, he's deep.
He's got some depth to it. Is that where the music started? Where did the passion for music start? Where did that all come along?
He said, when did I start doing music?
Yeah, when did the passion for music and all that, when did that all come on the scene?
I feel like my passion for music came when I was a little kid. I don't know who I told this to. I don't remember, but I remember telling it. I remember just saying, like, when I was a kid, I didn't know, like, what words I was saying or nothing, but I was just walking around the crib, just making a flow or something. Like, I don't even know what I was saying. But I just, like, sometimes I just be thinking about it, like, dang, I remember I was doing that. I don't even know what I was saying. I was just making a flow. But I remember I recorded my first song in my ninth grade, freshman year of high school. I think I recorded it, like, on the phone or something, though. But it was still cool.
You still have it? Do you still have that recording?
No, it was on my old phone. Like, oh, I don't know where that's at. But, yeah. I always had a passion for music, though. I always loved music. My mom
also. I know you got a passion for movies too. I was reading that you're a big movie buff. This may be a few years old, but Gridiron Gang.
Oh,
is
yeah.
that your favorite movie still?
Not The Rock. Anymore. That's not my favorite movie no more. But that used to be my favorite movie.
Yeah,
that movie. I like.
So what?
Movie.
What took over as number one in the Chuma all-time great movie list?
Let me think. What would be my favorite movie right now? I say right now the only movie that's coming to my head is Menace to Society. I like that movie a lot.
That's a classic.
I like that movie a lot.
David, did you when how old were you when you recorded your first song?
I think I was about 6, maybe 7. It was for you. I lost it. I threw that phone away too. But, it was a rotary phone. You know, you dial, you pick it up off it. I lost it on that phone.
You were singing on it. You were singing on the beat, or you was
no. Dante's messing with me. He's messing with me.
I was about to say.
Right? Wouldn't you want to get your hands on that?
Now, I did play in a band. I did play in a band when I was, you know, a kid. I did.
What, you did?
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
I didn't know this.
What'd you play?
There's things you know. I played guitar, sang, a little guitar, a little sing, a little song, a little dance, a little seltzer in your pants. Mary Tyler Moore show.
We got to get David. You got to get David on the next album, Chuma. I think we can.
I could use a guitar.
I can help you, Chuma. I can help you.
Yeah, I need that guitar. I've been listening to a lot of reggae too, so I'm in a reggae mood.
I need that guitar.
This is happening. Awesome. You know what? We got a request last night. This is during the intros last night. I don't know if you know this. Markel came up to us during the intros last night. Okay, so you do know this.
Yeah.
He said, "What do we have to do for next season to get Chum's music playing on the back in during the intros to have Chuma's music playing on the background?"
He was telling me, so that's what he was telling me. I was just saying that I was gonna make an intro song for the magic.
Or let's do that. I say we do. Because he said, what do we have to do to get Chuma's music up on the intro? And I just assumed he meant something you had already done to the video. But listen, I think you should just make the song, period. You need to get on that.
It'd be cool. I was just thinking about it too. Like, just imagine at the intro when the lights turn off, and then you had a whole crowd plus the audio saying "Orlando Magic, Magic, Orlando Magic, Magic." Oh, that would be cool.
I'm in.
Crowd involved.
You know, we had a theme song back in the early years, back in the late '80s, early '90s. I don't know if you've heard it, but there has not. Magic theme song since that one kind of faded away, probably in the mid 90s. So it's been a long time.
I'm gonna see if I can make some up.
That would be great. So, when your days, a long time from now, when your basketball days are done, will you pursue music? Will you continue to make albums and release songs and all that?
Shoot, I don't know. It depends on if I still got some stuff to say. But I don't know. I probably will, though.
Very good point.
I probably will. I always love music, though. That's just a part of me.
Listen, all right, last thing. You got 6 months to get this song for next season.
Yes, we're going to make this happen.
Get a couple of variations. Get this going.
If you could please somehow work in David on the guitar,
that would be I'm going to need a guitar.
He needs a guitarist.
This was meant to be. We've got 2 minutes left, and we just got a couple of hard-hitting questions. Quick answers, right? So first thing that comes to mind, submitted by fans. These are things that fans want to know about Chuma Okeke. Number one, when you make your cereal, okay, pour a bowl of cereal, do you pour the milk first or the cereal first?
Cereal first, always.
Is there anybody that does the milk first?
I've never heard of doing the milk first.
When I was little, I remember my dad did that, pour milk first and cereal. I won't ever do that, though.
I've never seen that. I can't.
No way.
He's the one.
No way. All right. Chuma, why the number three? Why did you choose the number three?
Because Mo had number five. I'm going to take it from him, though.
Okay.
I think he offered it to me, but I couldn't because, like, it's something with the sales or something like that.
Yeah.
So
Mo would have to buy all his jerseys out before he could give it to you. Yeah, I'm sure he's not in any hurry to do that either. No, not at all.
He's fine with that. Favorite food? Do you have a favorite food?
Favorite food? Right now, my favorite food is probably just salmon.
Does it change? Has it been something else before salmon?
Yeah. Before, like, back in college, it was, I think, like, my freshman year, it was Sloppy Joe, and then after that, it was Philly cheesesteak. So now it's just salmon.
He's just basic. Look at the way his palate is advanced.
You have had quite a progression.
I know, right?
That is a nice progression.
All right, favorite music artist, Chuma.
Favorite artist?
Yep.
I'd probably say, I want to say like Young Thug, but.
That's Dante's favorite. That's funny.
That's one and the same.
Oh, that's your, you like Young Thug?
No. I'm sure I would. I got to listen to it a little more, familiarize myself.
Yeah, Young Thug. Mm-hmm. Also like Fun. I like the music group Fun.
Okay. I like that. Let me ask you. So David, I want to ask you, and then we'll see if Chuma would agree. David, who do you think is the best Magic one-on-one player?
Ooh.
On this roster, who is the best one-on-one player?
I might have to go with Markel. One-on-one. Yes. Cole would be tough too. You know, the little guys. I don't know though. The big guys can just back you down and just slam on you. So I don't know. That would be interesting. Who do you think, Chuma?
Who do I think the best one-on-one player
best
is?
Best one-on-one player on the team in a one-on-one tournament.
One-on-one tournament? I think I win the one-on-one tournament.
Oh, here we go. Nice. Of course. Like you got to bet on yourself.
He's got the whole package inside out. You could post up. You can hit Turner, you know, face-up jumpers. Great defensively. Yeah, I can see that.
All right, two more. Who do you have winning March Madness? Who do you now from right now?
He doesn't care. You know he doesn't care.
Obviously,
now.
You picked your own school, but who do you have?
Who I got winning? I got Arizona winning.
Okay.
Just from watching them last night.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And because like before I watched it, somebody else had told me, somebody here that worked here thought Arizona was going to win. I would look at them crazy. I was like, what, Arizona? But no, I agree with them now.
Okay.
Do you have DeCole and the Wagner brothers and Wendell, all the guys that have their colleges alive still? Are they talking a lot of noise about their team still being alive?
That's another reason why I'm like, dang, Auburn lost. Because now I can't even talk because all they're going to say, where Auburn at? So I can't even talk now. I can't even talk, but they be going at it. You feel me? First, I was happy when Kentucky lost because now Randy can't say nothing. Right. Then Stroh was talking, and Tennessee lost. I was like, all right, Auburn's still in it. And then Auburn just lost. I'm like, dang, I can't say nothing.
You got to listen to those Michigan guys now, right? Yeah, all three of them.
All three of them.
All right. Well, good stuff, Chuma. We really appreciate this. Thanks for making time. And good luck the rest of the way. It's great having you out there. Finish this season on your terms, and then we can't wait to see what the last 10 games and next year look like for you.
All right, appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me.
That was great, Chuma. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad with Chuma Okeke. We'll see you next week.